from NPR News. This is News and Notes. I'm Ed Gordon. From New Orleans' French Quarter, President Bush last night assured residents of the Gulf Coast region that the nation is committed to their well-being. The president pledged a long-term infusion of federal aid for reconstruction and human services.
Throughout the area hit by the hurricane, we will do what it takes. We will stay as long as it takes to help citizens rebuild their communities and their lives.
For more analysis of last night's address, I'm joined by Bruce Gordon, President and CEO of the NAACP, and Glenn Lowry, Professor of Economics at Brown University. Gentlemen, thanks for joining us. Mr. Gordon, let me start with you. Talk to me, if you will, about what you thought about last night's speech.
I think that the president was presidential last night. I think that he demonstrated conviction, which he has a tendency to do from time to time. I think that he attempted to express some genuine concern for the victims of the area, and I think he laid out a broad-based plan. So he communicated hope. At this point, what we often hear, the devil's in the details. So what I'm eager to see and hear a lot more about is precisely how the plan will be executed, so that I can satisfy myself that some of the very specific items that a group of African-American leaders have identified based upon our conversations with victims of Katrina, I want to hear how they will be woven in to the fabric of the president's overall message. So it's too soon to sort of evaluate. But directionally, there is some promise if the execution is done properly.
Glenn Lowry, as an economist, when you heard what the president talked about in a large scale, quite frankly, of what he hopes to do, how realistic is it to believe that in the short term we can see most of that plan happen?
Well, I think it's feasible. We can find the resources, so something's going to have to give here. A $500 billion a year budget deficit, $150 billion a year war, and now what looks like a $250 billion commitment to reconstruction. It's a massive undertaking. It can be done, but I agree with some of the commentary that I've heard that what the president didn't address in his speech are the structural changes in the way in which the United States goes about conducting its domestic and foreign and fiscal business that will have to attend this mobilization. So the devil is in the details, but the devil is also in the concept. What kind of country are we? What's the nature of our commitment to one another? And what are we prepared to do in terms of taxes, in terms of changed priorities at a national level and not just in response to a disaster?
To that end, so many people talking about race and poverty. I want to play a bit of what the president said about that last night. And Bruce Gordon, go to you of your thoughts. Let's hear it.
There's also some deep, persistent poverty in this region as well. That poverty has roots in a history of racial discrimination, which cut off generations from the opportunity of America. We have a duty to confront this poverty with bold action.
Bruce Gordon, we heard that from the president. No specifics last night. Were you disappointed in that?
I was disappointed that there were no specifics. Frankly, the fact that the president acknowledged the existence of poverty, which to me was undeniable given what every American saw on their television screens, the fact that he acknowledged racial discrimination, I'm going to take as a positive. But once again, the issue is, what is the comprehensive strategy that we intend to put in place to address poverty? Because this poverty crisis, quite candidly, was exposed in the Gulf region, but it goes in across to many other regions of the country. So in the very near term, I want to know precisely what will we do to execute job creation. I heard the phrase yesterday, but how does that happen? I want to know what we do specifically to get minority businesses engaged in the development of the solution. I heard the phrase, but I don't know exactly happens.
Mr. Gordon, let me stop you there for just a moment. And you're new on the post, so I won't bunch you into this too quickly. But the idea of we said and we hear and we've seen and read over the course of the last couple of weeks, poverty exposed, as if Katrina came in and blew the blanket off of poverty. But poverty has been there for quite some time. Not only have we not seen the government and, quite frankly, America turn its attention, but black leadership has, to a great degree, turned its back on poverty. What can we do to make sure we don't do it again?
Well, first of all, I'll probably debate you a bit in terms of whether black leadership has turned its back on poverty. I think that's too gross a generalization for me to subscribe to.
All right.
But that's
a fair disagreement, but I'll stay with that.
There are two classes in America. Katrina didn't start that class structure. It's been in existence for a very long time. But we've watched policies being implemented in the last 4 to 6 years that have demonstrated less of a sensitivity, in my opinion, to the poor and more of a benefit to the wealthy. And let me be clear about something. You know, I had a successful career in corporate America. I'm not a poor person. I think that policies have been implemented that have been and proposed or pending that have been to my benefit, and not there hasn't been a parallel approach done for the poor, and I take exception with the black leadership comment simply because and I'll take it personally, I wouldn't be in the job that I'm in today if I was turning my back on these issues. So careful with that one.
Well, I wouldn't say that you have to take it personally, but I would still stick to the idea that as a collective, certainly as individuals, but as a collective, and I've had this argument behind closed doors and discussions behind closed doors about what we are as a country and as a community focusing on, and whether or not we've kept the light on issues that run rampant in our communities, and that might indeed be one of them.
I certainly would agree that the light has not been on. What Katrina did was it didn't provide anybody with a choice. It happened. The light went on unexpectedly. And I think most Americans were appalled with what they saw. And it forced them to confront a reality that you and I know has existed for decades, quite candidly. And by the way, the world sees it too. And I think that if nothing else, Katrina is now going to give us a lot more incentive as a country to take care of all of this country's citizens, not just the more fortunate.
All right, let me turn to Mr. Lowry before we continue to slug out our family feud here, Mr. Gordon. I don't know if we're related. We got to check into that, but we'll continue that fight down the line. Mr. Lowry, let me turn attention back to dollars. And Mr. Gordon put it succinctly in the idea of whether or not the country is going to continue to keep a light on this, the idea that the country, quite frankly, is going to have to climb on board and want to a great degree to pay for this if we're going to see it through to fruition. Because as we know, and I think we all can agree on this, if the country starts to turn away monetarily from this months down the line, politicians are going to start to walk away from it.
Yeah, that's certainly true, which is why I regret that the president didn't do what he did after 9/11, which was not only talk about programmatic activities, but also provide some leadership and some inspiration in terms of a vision about the kind of country that we want to be. I mean, this is for the long haul here. We're talking about hundreds of thousands of people. We're talking about devastation in their lives that's going to take years to repair. And the broader point, of course, is that a Katrina-like catastrophe has been happening. I don't mean to make light with this analogy. In the lives of poor people, and poor black people in particular in our cities, for a very long time. The most important thing the president said last night to my ear was, we're all in this together. Mm-hmm. That's absolutely true, but note, it's absolutely diametrically contrary to the political philosophy on which he has run for office and gotten elected. A natural disaster has forced him to observe that we, all Americans, are in this with the New Orleans and Mississippi and such victims of this disaster. But the truth is, we're all in it together all the way. I mean, those kids in the inner city, the jails that are full of these kids, they didn't ask for the blighted lives that are being lived out. They didn't do anything to deserve that. We're in it with them, too. What the president ought to have said, in my view, was that a light goes on by virtue of this fortuitous, terrible tragedy that makes us see our moral responsibilities to each other more clearly, and that does not end on the Gulf Coast of the United States.
Mm-hmm. Bruce Gordon, I want to talk to you a bit about what your organization has been doing, the relief efforts, a yeoman's job, as I have talked to many of your folks on the ground, and the effort for relief through the NAACP.
We've actually had to move ourselves from being an advocacy organization to being a service delivery organization. If there is a disappointment that we, frankly, were in a position to help with, it's that in the early days of relief being distributed, unfortunately, a lot of our communities were substantially underserved. You know, there's been a lot of discussion about New Orleans for obvious reasons, but 2 weeks ago I was in Biloxi, Mississippi, and people don't realize, even today, how devastated those small towns in Mississippi and Alabama were. The NAACP opened command centers and simply just delivered food and clothing and basic needs that if we had not been there, these communities would have never seen, and in some respects still have not seen, the Red Cross. So we've been into a service delivery mode. We've been into a housing mode to get people out of these mega centers and into small churches working through the National Baptist Convention. So we've been into sort of a rescue and relief approach early on. We're transitioning now, though. It's policy time. It's advocacy time. It's time to really make sure that the administration, the government, really does all the things that it needs to do to be responsive and sends the signals that it really is going to change. See, this is a chance to measure the change in behavior of the leadership of this country to reflect what they believe is a poverty crisis driven by racial discrimination. And so we're going to be very focused in really specific terms about what it is we expect to have happen.
All right, Bruce Gordon, President and CEO of the NAACP, and Glenn Lowry, Professor of Economics at Brown University. I thank you both for joining us. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Ed. Thank you.
Coming up, a special roundtable on this week's gathering of world leaders at the UN and a conversation with the UN's Mark Malik Brown.